welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Lavonier, bringing you an hour of romance later on from the Damon Runyon Theater from 1948, but first a broadcast of Stars Over Hollywood called Fog Warning from January 12, 1952 on CBS.
This is Cameron Mitchell with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present transcribed Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
Yes, it's Carnation, bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's Cameron Mitchell.
Hello, Art. Hello, everybody.
You know, everyone's saying what a wonderful picture Death of a Salesman is. And there's much praise for a young man by the name of Cameron Mitchell who plays the younger brother. You were in the New York Stage Company, too, weren't you, Cam?
Yes, Art. Also in the radio and television versions. You might say that I've been thoroughly indoctrinated in the role.
Well, it looks like yours is to be a movie career from now on, Cam, with that crisp new 20th Century Fox contract in your pocket. Tell me, what are some of the pictures in which you've appeared?
Well, right after the war, I appeared in Homecoming, High Barbary, and Cast Timberlane. Just recently, I finished Outcast of Poker Flat, the Bret Hart classic.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm doing Victor Hugo's Les Miserables.
Well, that takes in a wide range of roles, Cam. And now, Act One of Fog Warning, starring Cameron Mitchell as Dino Coletti. Curtain going up. When a blanket of fog spreads itself over the rugged Monterey coastline, fishermen usually have only two choices. If they're in the harbor, they stay in. If they're at sea, they sail as far away from the treacherous coast as they can. But Dino Coletti, skipper of the fishing boat West Wind, seems to have found a third choice. He and his partner, Mike Russo, are an hour out of Monterey with a hold full of fish when the fog closes in on them.
It's getting pretty thick, Dino. Maybe we should lay off until this afternoon and Mike will leave.
You're getting cautious in your old age, Mike. Don't you trust me?
Just like I trust my own son, but I don't trust the fog. When I hear the surf breaking on Point Joe, the wine inside of me begins to sour.
It won't be as sour as the faces of the other crews when we're first in with a day's catch.
If we get too close to Point Joe, we'll be first at the bottom of the sea with our catch.
Mike, you talk like an old woman.
Yeah, and the harbor master will talk worse than an old woman if you sail into the harbor in this soup.
I'm getting used to that, Mike. It wouldn't feel like home without Brian waiting at the dock to bawl me out. And today I've got a special reason for getting back into the harbor. I'm going to ask Susan Farrell to marry me.
Marry Susan Farrell? Dino, that's a big mistake. But if you've got to have a wife, at least pick one from home.
From home? Salinas is only 19 miles from Monterey.
Yeah, but that's 19 miles on the land, Dino. It's like some other country. The people of Salinas are farm people. They don't know anything of the sea or fishing.
You know better than that, Mike. Susan and her father are both fishermen.
Oh, sure, sure. On Sundays, they rent the boat and they fish for an hour or two. That's not real fishing.
Well, I don't know what else you'd call it.
Well, laugh now if you want. You'll find out these people don't even speak the same language we do.
Susan and I speak the same language.
Well, just remember, I warn you.
Well, there you are, Mike. Right dead in the center of the harbor entrance. I told you we'd be first in with a catch.
Someday, when you don't listen to the warning signals, you're going to be sorry.
I listen to the signals inside my head, Mike. They tell me when to go ahead and when to stop. Now it's time to stop. Unload for me, will you, Mike? I'm in a hurry to get cleaned up.
Ahoy the west wind.
Uh-oh. The harbor master.
Here we go again.
Ahoy the dock.
I might have known it was you, Dino.
Hiya, Mr. Bryan. What's the matter? You seem upset about something.
Well, certainly I'm upset. Who wouldn't be with you sailing into the harbor in this fog?
I didn't think it would be this thick. But everything's all right. I got in safely, Mr. Bryan.
Yes, you got in safely. But there's other boats in this harbor beside the West Wind. And it's their safety I'm concerned with. Dino, as much as I like you, you're a menace. The next time this happens, you're going to lose your license.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bryan. It won't happen again.
You've been saying that for the 3 years I've been harbor master, and you haven't changed yet. But this is your last warning, Dino. The next time you endanger the shipping in this harbor by coming in when conditions are like this, you'll find yourself without a boat.
Well, that'd be rough. You know, with the load Mike and I have in the hold, I can make the last payment on the West Wind today.
Well, that's fine, Dino. But don't forget what I said. One more time and no more license.
I'll remember, Mr. Bryan.
We'll see that you do. I have enough trouble without having to spend all my time.
He's pretty mad, Dino.
He'll get over it. He always does.
But he's never been this mad before.
Mike, you worry too much. Now, take care of everything, and I'll be back as soon as I can.
Yeah, have a good time in Salinas.
I hope the signal's in his head all right.
Anybody home?
Hold your horses, young man. I'm coming as quickly as I can.
Hello, Dino.
Hello, Mr. Farrell. Where's Susan?
Over at Mrs. Benton's. Our radio went out of whack, so she went over there to listen to the weather reports.
She shouldn't worry about me. I'm a better sailor in the fog than I am in fair weather.
You'll have to convince her of that, lad, if you can.
I hope to convince her of that today, Mr. Farrell. With your permission, I'm going to ask Susan to marry me.
Ah, Dino, my boy, that's wonderful. But frankly, it isn't much of a surprise. I expected it long before this.
Well, I wanted to wait until my boat was paid for, Mr. Farrell. And today, when the cannery pays me for my catch, I'll be able to make the last payment.
Good boy, Dino. And say, now that you're almost one of the family, how about letting me in on a secret?
If I can, Mr. Farrell.
Well, Dino, you know, I've been fishing off this coast for 20 years, and I still haven't caught a really big fish. Now, you know all the places. Where can I get the biggest halibut Monterey has ever seen?
That's a pretty tall order, Mr. Farrell. I don't know where you can get the biggest halibut, but I do know where there are some pretty good sized ones.
I knew it. Where, boy? Where?
You know where Point Joe is?
Yes.
Well, about 20 yards off Point Joe, there's a sandy bottom. It's a pretty deep hole with rocks all around it. You might lose a few hooks on the rock, but once you find it, you'll get your big fish.
Dino, you've made me the happiest man in Salinas. I'll take Susan out there next Sunday and...
Dino, I'm so glad you're here. I've been worried all day.
Oh, about a little fog?
A little fog? I couldn't even see the tops of the mountains between here and Monterey.
Well, you won't be thinking of mountains when you hear what Dino has told me.
Oh?
Well, I just told him where I thought he could catch a big fish.
That's not all. But I'd better go clean up my tackle. I can't wait.
Now, what have you two got up your sleeves? From the expression on your face, it's something more important than catching fish.
To me, it's the most important thing, Susan. Well...
Dino, what are you trying to say?
Susan, will you marry me?
Dino, I...
We can buy a little house near the bay and...
Oh, Dino, please.
Susan, what's the matter? I thought you loved me.
I do, Dino, I do. But it's not as easy as that. Ever since we met, I've been waiting for the day when you'd ask me to marry you. But now I'm frightened.
Frightened? Of what?
Of the fog, Dino. And frightened for myself when I think of what might happen to you out there.
Oh, Susan, you're making something out of nothing. I'll tell you a secret about the fog. When I can't see, I use a trick my father taught me when I was a kid. I listen. And by the noise of the surf and the sound of the foghorns, I know exactly where I am.
That sounds wonderful, Dino.
Well, Susan, if you were out there with me, I could make you understand there's nothing to be frightened of.
How can you say that? Every year, fishing boats are pounded to splinters on the rocks. I've been on the docks and watched the wives waiting for men who could never come back. Can't you understand what would happen to me, Tino?
Well, I've tried to explain, Susan. The fog doesn't bother me. And if it did, I couldn't stop it from rolling in when I was fishing.
You don't have to go fishing, Dino.
But that's my work. That's how I live.
There's other work, less dangerous work.
Susan, do you realize what you're saying? You're asking me to give up everything I've worked for, everything I've lived for since I was old enough to crawl around the deck of my father's boat. It's my whole life.
But it's not my life, Dino, and I don't want to make it my life. It would be easier for me not to have you at all than to have you and live in the constant fear that at any moment I might lose you.
Well, you're being childish, Susan.
And you're being stubborn and selfish.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I might as well leave.
That's the way I feel, Dino.
I guess Mike was right when he said we didn't speak the same language. Goodbye.
Because Dino Coletti, a commercial fisherman, has refused to give up his fishing, Susan Farrell will not marry him. She thinks his work is too hazardous. For the past 2 weeks, Dino's boat, West Wind, has been tied to the dock in Monterey Harbor. And Mike Russo, Dino's partner, is worried about Dino's lack of interest.
For 2 weeks, you've been sitting here, Dino. Ain't you going to fish no more?
Sure. Sure, I'll be going out, but I don't know when.
I thought with the West Wind paid for, we'd be going out every day. That girl, she did this to you.
Don't try to blame anything on Susan.
Okay, Dino, okay. Don't get sore. I guess when I don't work, I get kind of nervous.
You want to go to work? Why don't you sign on another boat? Any skipper in the harbor would be glad to have you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be glad to have him. We worked together too long, Dino. No, no. Well, I think I get a job on the beach. I mend nets or something.
Mend nets? I'd like to see that. When the fish started to run, you'd go crazy. You're not for the beach, Mike. You're for the sea and fishing.
And you, Dino, what are you for? Tied up here at the dock while every fishing boat in the harbor is bringing in record catches? Is that what you're for, to watch while others work?
All right, Mike. Anything's better than listening to you rave. Tell you what I'll do. I'll go out and buy some new jigs while you gas her up and get her ready. We'll go out tomorrow morning.
Dino, you mean it? We're going to fish again?
If we can get her ready in time.
Oh, we get her ready. She'll be shipshape before you get back. Oh, solo mio.
Hey, Mike.
Fair. What do you want?
Shh. Susan's on the wharf. I don't want her to hear. Where's Dino?
Well, he's not here.
Will you give him a message for me?
Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Your daughter caused a lot of trouble for Dino. Now he's just beginning to feel better. I won't tell him anything to make him feel bad again.
Oh, don't worry. This will fix everything. Tell him that Susan and I are going fishing today.
Going fishing? Now, what does he care?
He'll care. Tell him I'm going to get that halibut he told me about. Tell him we're going to stay out until I get it, no matter how long it takes.
Okay, I'll tell him.
But don't forget, I'm going to get that halibut he told me about, and Susan and I are going to stay out until I get it.
Okay, I'll tell him.
Good, good. Be sure he gets the message just the way I told it to you. And thanks.
Yeah. I never heard anyone get so excited about catching one fish before. He must be crazy in the head.
Here I am, Susan. Have you got all the tackle aboard?
It's all here. It's so late now. Do you think we should go out?
Oh, what can happen? There's not a cloud in the sky. It's a perfect day for fishing.
I've seen these perfect days before. Late in the afternoon, the fog comes in so quickly.
The fog. That's all you can think about. Now, let me get my hands on that outboard. Wait till I prime it again. Now, let's see. Well, I'll try it again. Now. There we go. sailing over the bounding main, and many a stormy wind will blow.
All set, Dino. Plenty of gas, plenty of water. All we need now is plenty of fish.
We'll get those tomorrow. We'll fill her so full, she'll come back in like a submarine.
That's the way to talk. Now, it's just like old times.
Ahoy, West Wind.
Hiya, Mr. Bryan.
Hello, Dino. Figuring on fishing again?
Yeah, I sure am.
When do you plan on going out?
Tomorrow morning.
That's good. There's a bank of fog coming in that will hit us in about an hour.
I can smell it. And if my nose is any judge, it'll roll in sooner than that.
Just don't get any ideas, Dino.
What do you mean?
Remember what I told you 2 weeks ago? It still holds.
I remember. The West Wind is paid for now, and I'm not going to take any chance on losing it.
I just thought I'd remind you. If you endanger the shipping in this harbor again, you can kiss the West Wind goodbye.
You don't have to worry about me, Mr. Bryan.
I hope not, Dino. I hope not.
Mr. Bryan sure can stay mad a long time, huh?
Yeah, I guess he has a right to, Mike. I've been pretty much of a fool.
But that's all over now, eh, Dino? Now we catch plenty of fishes, and everybody's happy, including Mr. Bryan.
That's the way it will be, Mike. Everybody will be happy.
Sailing, sailing over the bounding main, and many a stormy wind. Wait, hold it, I've got a strike. Nope, just another false alarm.
Now, don't you think we should go back? I don't like the feel of the weather. It's getting cold and damp.
Just a little while longer, Susan. There's a big one down there, and I'm going to get him.
But, Dad, look out to sea. The whole horizon has disappeared.
Oh, that's nothing but your imagination. It'll be clear until sundown.
I hope you're right. Whatever made you come to this spot so far from the harbor? We never fished so close to Point Joe before.
Oh, just a hunch. And if things work out, it'll be the luckiest hunch I ever had. Sailing, sailing over the bounding main.
You got a good nose, Dino. The fog came in fast today.
And it'll be thick as mud until morning.
That was Sir Farrell Wright. He'll have a tough time finding his way back.
Farrell? Did he go out today?
Yeah, a couple hours ago. Oh, I forgot. He gave me a message for you.
What kind of a message?
Oh, I don't know. Something about a halibut. Let me think.
Halibut?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said to tell you he and his daughter were going to stay out until he caught that halibut you told him about.
He and Susan? Is she out there with him?
Well, that's what he said.
Oh, he must be crazy. If they try to come back in, they'll pile up in the rocks, and they can't stay out there all night.
Well, it's his own fault, you know. There's nothing you can do about it now.
I can go out there and get him.
Dino, you can't. Bryan will see that you never fish again.
There are more important things than fishing. Now cast her off.
Are you sure the anchor's holding? The surf sounds so much closer than it did.
I hope it's holding. I can't see a thing. Are you sure you're warm enough? I can let you wear this old sweater of mine.
And... you keep that on and button it up around your neck. It's likely to be a long time before you get that motor started. You sure there's gas in it?
It was full when we left the harbor. I don't know what could have happened to it. Well, I'll tinker with it some more. Now, I'll give it a spin. Maybe it'll turn over. No luck. I can't imagine what's wrong with it.
Try it again. I'm sure the anchor's dragging. The surf sounds so much closer.
Now, don't worry, Susan. I have a feeling that everything is going to be all right.
Well, I certainly hope so. I don't know why I let you talk me into coming out here today. When we got such a late start, I knew the fog would come in before we could get back.
Well, that's my fault, Susan. But you'll see, it won't be long before we're safe and sound.
Now you really did it, Dino. You'll never be able to talk Bryan out of it this time.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Do you think I could let Susan and her father stay out there? Well, they'd never find their way back into the harbor in this soup. And if they stay there, the swells would drift them onto the rocks of Point Joe. No anchor would hold them. Why didn't they come back in when the fog started to settle?
Well, the old man said he was going to stay out until he caught that fish.
Even if he knows better than to stay out until that fog is so thick that...
Wait a minute. Listen.
I don't hear that.
Hold it quiet. We're almost off the point. I'm going to run by at once. If they hear our motor, they'll call out.
Dino, don't take any chances. If you run around a rock, the bottom will rip out of it just like a wet paper bag.
It's a risk I'll have to take. Now, don't talk. I got to be able to hear the surf.
Hear anything?
Oh, not a thing. I'll have to try again.
Dino, be careful. Please be careful.
Quiet. Hear anything?
I don't know. I can't be sure.
There.
Mr. Farrell! Susan! Susan! We're coming! Susan! Susan!
Dino! Oh, Dino!
Don't come in any closer, Dino! Let me come out to you!
Line. Okay.
You can tow us the rest of the way home.
Give me a hand, Susan. Careful now. Oh, there you are. Safe aboard.
Oh, Dino, how did you ever find us?
Oh, it was easy. Remember the trick I told you about?
It wasn't so easy. If your dad hadn't been able to start that motor, we all might have gone on the rocks.
Well, how did you finally get it started, Dad?
Oh, I just turned on the ignition.
Dad.
Well, I had to do something so you two would find each other.
Now that I've found you, I'll never let you go again.
Oh, Dino.
Mike, you better take the wheel. Dino can't steer with both arms around my daughter.
So you see, Mr. Bryan, it was all my fault. If I hadn't meddled in my daughter's affairs, this wouldn't have happened.
I understand all that, but I still have my duty to perform.
I can promise you, Mr. Bryan, that Dino will never do anything foolish again. And perhaps I have more influence over him than you have.
I think you have, young lady. Dino, your license is hereby suspended for 1 month from this date, provided that you spend that month on your honeymoon.
Is that a deal, Dino?
Darling, I'll tell you what. I've thought it over, and I'm going to sell the West Wind.
Oh, no, you don't. If you sell the West Wind, where will we spend our honeymoon?
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of Fog Warning. This week's Stars Over Hollywood show is presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Cameron Mitchell. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Cameron Mitchell?
Right here, Art.
Nice going, Cam. You're batting 1,000, as usual.
Well, now, that's a compliment that means more to me than you think, Art.
Oh, I've heard all about your semi-pro baseball career, Cam, and frankly, I envy you. That's the sort of background any father would like to be able to tell his son about.
Sons, Art. I have three, you know.
Three boys? Well, that takes care of the outfield.
Sure does. The youngest isn't quite so active yet. He's only 2 months old.
Right at the carnation stage, eh?
That's right.
Well, don't you worry. He'll be the most active kid in the block. Carnation evaporated milk will see to that. It's so full of bodybuilding milk minerals, plus important vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. Now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for Deborah Padgett in Beauty and the Brain. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show for Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Stars Over Hollywood, on June 2 yesterday from the 12th of January 1952 on CBS. In the same year of that broadcast, star Cameron Mitchell was seen in no less than 6 motion pictures, playing on screen with the likes of Tyrone Power, Pat O'Brien, Ann Baxter, Walter Pigeon, and alongside Michael Rennie, Deborah Padgett, Robert Newton, and Edmund Gwynn in the on-screen production of Les Miserables, which he mentioned. This is an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the fourth broadcast of the Damon Runyon Theater in their series and syndication called The Lemon Drop Kid from October 24th, 1948.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master of storytellers, Damon Runyon. And this one, The Lemon Drop Kid. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. The other day, I run into Regret, the horse player. And he tells me that he runs into the Lemon Drop Kid. And the kid sends regards to me. It is a long time since I see the kid. Maybe a year. It is that long since the night in Mindy's when... But that is getting ahead of the story of the Lemon Drop Kid. One that is more than somewhat full of what the Broadway critics like to call human drama. If you like, I will tell it to you in a minute. I am going to take you back a matter of 4 or 5 years to an August afternoon and the racetrack at Saratoga, which is a spot in New York State very pleasant to behold, and also to a young guy by the name of Lemon Drop Kid, who is called the Lemon Drop Kid because he always has a little sack of lemon drops in the side pocket of his coat and is always munching at same. Now, the Lemon Drop Kid's business is telling a tale, which means he will spot somebody at the racetrack and give them a tip, for which he expects to be cut in on the lettuce when it is gathered. On this day, the kid and I are standing at the rail. The kid is looking gloomy. Finally, he turns to me and says as follows.
Broadway, have you ever been broke?
Oh, at times the condition with me is somewhat of a chronic disease.
It is with me now.
You?
Uh-huh. I have no place to live.
But you are living at that boarding house, are you not?
I am not. The landlady made derogatory remarks about my lack of funds. Got so I could not enjoy my meals, especially since they were very bad meals to start with.
Then what are you doing here at the racetrack?
I thought maybe I could tell a tale and pick up some scratch in that manner.
You mean you have a horse that looks good?
No, but I... Broadway.
Yeah?
Hey, look, there he comes again.
There who comes again where?
See an old man in the wheelchair?
Sure.
Well, every day he comes here. He's always pushed up where he can see the race.
You know who that is, kid?
I do not.
Rarus P. Grigsby.
The name is familiar.
It should be. Rarus P. Grigsby has more potatoes than Idaho. And with these potatoes, he is closer than the next second.
How do you like that? Here I am, broke. There he is with more dough than he knows what to do with. And what fun does he have?
It seems to me that a few evenings at home counting a few dollars at a time is a more than somewhat entertaining pastime.
Nah, look how sour he looks.
Well, being tied to that chair is no fun.
I guess so. I feel sorry for him.
Sure.
Tell you what, let's go over and talk to him.
Talk to Rarus P. Grigsby? Kid, you are more than somewhat silly.
Well, come on, let's see. He looks lumps.
Okay, okay. But do not say I do not warn you.
Besides, maybe I can tell him a tale.
Oh, he never bets.
Why does he come here?
Just to see the horses.
Oh. Okay, watch me cheer him up. Hiya, Buster.
Huh? Are you addressing me, young man?
Sure. Say, you got gout?
Go away.
Nice day, huh? What?
I didn't say anything.
Well, why not?
Because I don't wish to talk. Now go away before I have my man call the police.
I do something wrong?
Will you please go?
Why are you in that wheelchair?
Arthritis. Now go away.
Arthritis? Say, I had that once. No more, though.
Huh? You had it?
Sure. Know what cured it?
It can't cure mine.
Well, you never tried.
Young man, I spent thousands on doctors, and I've offered $5,000 to anyone who will cure me.
Okay, so look at you. Ever try this stuff?
Yeah. What is it?
Medicine I took.
Ah.
Here, try one.
Right. What is it?
Look, if you're afraid, I'll eat one first. See? Can't hurt. Might do you some good.
Well, let me have it.
Here you are.
Well, it tastes like lemon drops.
Sure, I have to disguise the taste of the medicine. Well, what's so funny?
You are.
Maybe. By the way, I'll give you something good in the fifth.
I never bet.
Ever try?
No.
Well, why not this time? You can't lose. I got it straight
from the horse's mouth.
No, no, I can't reveal the source of my information.
You're an engaging young rapscallion. What's the name of this horse?
Watch number two.
Number two, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I know what you want. Here, take this $100. Bet it on the horse.
Sure. So long, Buster.
And I am flabbergasted because I know the kid does not know what horses are running in the fair. But the kid just smiles and walks away. He is gone maybe 10 minutes. Then he comes back, and he is smiling more than somewhat as he says as follows.
Hey, Broadway, I found out that horse number two is an old walrus by the name of Sunshine, and he could not win even against a field of mud turtles.
And you are going to bet that C-note on him?
No.
But
Sunshine
you...
will lose. Mr. Grigsby will not miss the C-note. He has many, many more. Besides, I made him laugh. I figure he owes me something for that. Now, come on. We'll watch the race. And maybe in the sixth, we'll put down a bet.
Oh, there's post call.
There's Sunshine coming out of the paddock. Broadway, he is a sorry-looking walrus.
Nevertheless, I see walruses do funny things.
Don't borrow trouble.
I have plenty without dipping into the bag for more.
Sunshine will lose.
But Sunshine wins. Probably because he is running against a field of mud turtles that are not in shape. And the price is 20 to 1, which means Rarer's P. Grigsby wins 2,000. Now, at this point, it seems the Lemon Drop Kid should be hard to catch. But he does not run away. He is funny that way, because he figures Mr. Grigsby should be told why the tip does not stand up. So I stand back when the kid says to him,
"Well, what do you say?"
"Say, say." "That's the most fun I've had in years. I'll give you a liberal reward, young man."
"That's generous of you, Mr. Grigsby."
Well, where's the money?"
"Money? What money?"
"Why, the money I won."
"Well, Mr. Grigsby, why are you under the impression that you won?"
"Huh? What did you say?"
"You did not win. We lost on that race."
"We what? Well, young man, you... Horse number two won that race."
"Sure, horse number two won. It is a matter of history now."
"Then where is the money?"
"Mr. Grigsby, I think you misunderstood me. I meant that horse number two was the horse to watch against ours. Remember? I said watch number two."
"You crook! You young thief! You swindler! Police! Detectives! Police! Help!"
"Now, take it easy, Mr. Grigsby. Your condition..."
"Confound my condition! I'll throttle you with my own hands. I'll tear you in half. Why, you thief! You crook!"
"Goodbye, Mr. Grigsby. It's been very nice knowing
you." "You come back here! Get him! Stop him! I'll have you hunted down and found if it takes every remaining day of my life."
Is that. The Lemon Drop Kid takes off with every gendarme and detective in the track at his heels. But he's a very fast runner. He leaves the track under a good head of steam and does not stop until there are several miles between him and the nearest competitor. He stops only when he comes to a little town named Kibbsville. Now, the rest of the story I do not see in person, but I hear it later from the kid. And it goes as follows.
"Would that be all, sir?"
"Yes, thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir."
"Say, I wonder if you could give me a drink of water."
"Oh, you scared me. Didn't see you come up."
"Sorry, but I'm kind of dry."
"You been running?"
Yeah, I was in it in the last race and lost direction."
"You want some ice water?"
"Any kind. Thanks."
"Well, why don't you sit down? I'll bring it to you. Here, sit on this stool in the shade."
"Oh, thanks. It's your gas station?"
"It's my father's. I take care of it. Here you are."
"Oh, thanks."
Drink it slower. That's better."
"Yeah."
"Why were you running?"
"Exercise. Do it all the time."
"Were you running away from something?"
"Nah. So you got change for $100 bill?
"For $100? No."
"Hmm. Business good here?"
"Sometimes. Not much traffic comes down here."
"Hmm. You say, you mind this place all by yourself?"
"Well, my father helps.
Where is he?
He's in the house. All I have to do is call for him.
You're scared of me. Well, don't worry. I'm not a stick-up man.
I didn't say you were. You don't look like one.
No? What do I look like?
Like a nice young man.
Nice young man, huh?
Yes, why?
Oh, nothing. Well, okay, thanks for the water. I'll be on my way.
You're welcome. Oh, were you at Saratoga?
Why?
I was just wondering what the girls there were wearing. You know, their hats, dresses, suits.
You don't get out much, do you?
Oh, yes, sometimes.
Sure.
Was it pretty there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lots of dolls.
Dolls?
Dames, girls.
Were they pretty?
Pretty? Yeah. Yeah, I guess they were.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Maybe because I never seen a doll. A girl like you before.
Well, the upshot of the matter is that the Lemon Drop Kid falls for this doll, who is named Alicia Deering. He does not stay one day or 2 days or even three, but more than a week passes, and he is still hanging around the town. And maybe it is a good thing because the gendarmes are still nosing around for him, but they do not think to look in Kibbsville. Then one night, he is sitting with Alicia, and the scene is as follows.
What are you thinking about?
Hmm? Oh, I don't know. Maybe about all this?
Oh. I heard something in town today.
So? What?
I heard that the police at the racetrack were looking for somebody.
They're always looking for somebody.
This was a special somebody. He likes lemon drops.
Lots of people do.
I know, that's what I said.
You... That's what you said?
Yes.
You hear why they're looking for this somebody?
Yes. He was dishonest.
Uh-huh.
But they don't think he stopped here in Kibbsville. I don't either.
See. Alicia.
What?
Look, you don't know anything about me except that I like lemon drops. But I... This is the first time I ever loved anybody or anything in my life. It's different. I like it.
So do I.
I like this place. It's quiet. It's different. I'd like to stay here.
I wish you would.
You mean that?
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to do anything but tout a horse or pull a phony deal. But I'd like to try.
Starting now?
Starting as of the first day I saw you.
And that is how the Lemon Drop Kid proposes and is accepted. What comes later is quite a story, which I will tell you about in a minute. So it happens that the kid stays in Kibbsville. Now it turns out that he and Alicia are very much in love. But as they say, there is a large fly in the ointment. Naturally, the kid has to tell the doll's father. And the scene is as follows.
So you want to marry Alicia?
Yeah, that's the idea.
On what?
Well, I got a few bucks. 100.
How long will that last?
Well, I don't know.
You ain't got a job.
Well, not yet.
Looky here, I ain't able to work hard, and now you're going to take Alicia away from me.
Well, I got that figured out, too. I can work at the station.
You? You? Look at you. I know your kind. I seen a lot of you come and go.
Well, I'm figuring on staying.
Maybe you'll want a salary, too.
Well, we've got to live.
I'll give you $10 a week.
Huh? Oh, you're kidding.
$10. And you and Alicia can live in the back.
Gee, I figured on a place of our own.
On what?
You know, I can't figure you. Her father... Seems to me you wouldn't want to see her happy.
You're taking her away from me, ain't you?
Okay. $10 a week. You know...
What?
I was just thinking.
What about?
$10. That used to be a pretty good price for a necktie.
Kid, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I gotta look in a mirror to make sure.
Oh, you're tired.
Yeah, I guess. 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Long hours for short pay.
For 8 months.
Yeah, for 8 months.
Want a glass of milk?
No.
I'm sorry, kid.
I'll forget it. Alicia.
What, kid?
We gotta get out of here. You and me, we gotta get out of here.
You want to leave?
Well, why not? What do we got here? $10 a week in one room.
It's not much, is it?
Much.
I see.
Well, I... Oh, look, baby, honey, I didn't mean that for you. Well, I cut my arm off if you pass me the sign to do it. Oh, honey, honey, I'm sorry.
I know. Oh, kid, I love you so much.
Double that in spades for me, honey. Look, I had $100 when I came here. I've been getting 10 a week. We put some away. Maybe we can make a start someplace else.
I don't want to go away, kid.
But you said you loved me.
And I do. I'd go any place with you, darling, any place. But not now.
Why not? Why not?
Not now, kid.
Alicia.
Oh, kid. Hey. Kid, I'm glad of you.
Glad. Glad. Look at me. Everybody in the world, look at me. The lemon drop kid who never had anything or anybody to love before in his life. And now I got the whole world. The whole world. Me. Me with a kid of my own.
Sure, that is it. Well, the weeks go by fast. Then Alicia is not doing so well. And the lemon drop kid is like a limp rag. And one night, the scene is as follows.
You can come in now.
Okay, Doc. She doing all right?
Well, no.
What's the matter?
Call it complications, Mr. Deering.
Let me in there.
Kid.
Hello, baby. Feeling better?
Yes.
Sure you are.
Everything all right?
Couldn't be better.
And Dad?
He's fine.
You'd better let her get some rest now.
Okay, Doc, right away. I'll be right outside, honey, in case you need anything.
All right, kid. Don't worry.
I've got to talk to you.
Yeah? What's the matter, Doc?
She needs a specialist.
Specialist? She's worse than you let on.
I'm sorry, but I've done all I can. She needs a specialist. Badly.
Badly?
That's right.
Where from?
Well, there's one in New York City. It's rather expensive.
Never mind that. Give me his name and address.
I've got it here for you. Here you are.
Okay, thanks, Doc.
I'll drop by again in an hour.
Yeah.
A specialist cost a lot of money.
Uh-huh. Look out.
You got that kind of money?
We got $150. We saved it.
Kid.
Get it right here. It's gone. It was right here, and it's gone.
Look, kid, there was something I wanted to...
Where's that dough? Where is it?
Look, with one thing and another, the station not
you
doing well... And...
You took it.
I had to pay off some bills. I never thought you'd need it like
you
this.
You took it. Why?
I had debts. You wasn't needing the money when I took it. I was going to put it back as soon as I could.
I'm going to kill you. You're her father, but I'm going to kill you.
Kid.
I broke my back for that dough.
You got it by stealing in the first place.
I ain't thinking of that now. All I'm thinking of is her. Oh, you dirty little...
Kid, let go, please. Let go. I dirty. Didn't mean to get let go. Kid!
Honey... Honey, what are you doing out here?
Alicia, don't let him go.
Kid, he didn't mean anything, he didn't.
Honey, you gotta get back to bed.
Please let him alone, kid. Promise me.
All right.
Help me. Help me, darling.
Alicia.
Well, the kid figures the only way he can get money and get it fast is to try the races. So he starts out for Saratoga. But on the way, he learns that Grigsby is still hot to get his hands on him, so the kid does not go to the track.
But it seems that same night, a masked bandit holds up an all-night restaurant and gets away with a whole take in the place, which amounts to considerable. And it so happens that the next morning, the kid shows up at his and Alicia's home.
Who's that? Oh, it's you.
Yeah, me. Doc, how is she? I can get her to New York now. What are you looking at me like that for?
Kid, I...
Doc, she's...
No, no, not yet. But your baby. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
You better go into her. You've still got a little time.
Sleeping, honey?
Kid? Kid, is that you?
It's me.
I've been waiting for you, kid. Just waiting.
I got a little delayed. But I got the money, baby.
Baby?
Oh, no, don't, honey. Please don't. Look, you're going to be okay.
Promise me something.
Sure, sure, anything.
Take care of Dad.
We'll both do it, baby. Both of us.
He's not bad. He just doesn't think. Take care of him.
All right.
I'm sorry, kid. I'm sorry.
Sure. Sure.
I'd better go in now.
You don't have to, Doc.
Oh, I'm sorry. If we could have taken her to New York 12 hours ago. Just 12 hours.
12 hours. I was busy 12 hours ago. Getting some money.
Oh, well, I'll be going. By the way, there's someone on the porch to see you.
Me?
Yes. Come on, I'll walk out with you.
I don't want to see anybody.
I think you'd better come.
Thanks, Doc.
It's all right, Sheriff. Goodbye, kid. Goodbye, Sheriff.
Kid, I've got to ask you some questions about last night.
12 hours ago.
That's right. We found this spigot wrapped in tin foil. Looks mighty like a gun.
Yeah, it does.
Somebody used it to hold up an all-night restaurant a good piece from here.
Uh-huh.
And that somebody was a man who took a lemon drop from his pocket and ate it while he was doing the holdup.
Know why the guy did it?
I think so. But the law is funny that way. It don't ask a man's reasons lots of times, kid. It just goes ahead and does its duty. Guess we better go, kid.
So the kid is sent to Auburn to do 2 years. And all the while he's there, he sends money to Alicia's father. Money he gets by selling knickknacks to visitors. And then he gets out. And his hair is kind of splashed with gray. And there are lines on his face. Now, this is still not the end of the story. The payoff is big, and I will tell you about it in a minute. One night, we are sitting in Mindy's. The kid is with us. He is out of Auburn maybe 3 days. He does not talk much, just sits there. And then there is a commotion, and the scene is as follows.
There he is. There he is at last. That's the man.
Kid, look, Grigsby.
Yeah, I see him.
Beat it, kid, beat it.
What for?
Ah, there you are, there you are. I finally chased you down.
Congratulations.
It took me a long time, but I swore I'd find you. You see, I'm walking. I'm no longer in my wheelchair. Well, what do you say to that?
Again, congratulations.
To you, too. I'm giving you a check for $4,900. I offered $5,000 to anyone who could get me out of that chair. Ha ha, lemon drops. Bah, I forgot all about my arthritis. Oh, my doctors say it was they who did it, but I know better. Well, you made me so furious that I got up and ran, and I haven't been in that... Well, what's the matter with you?
You were in Saratoga maybe 2 years ago?
Well, yes, why?
I could have had this check then.
Yes, it's minus the $100 you cheated me out of, but there it is. It's a good joke, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Look, if I put my name on this check...
Endorse it?
That's it. If I do that, can I send it to anyone and could he cash it?
Well, the check's as good as gold, young man.
Okay. Okay, I'll endorse it. You send it to a man named Henry Deering, Kibbsville, New York.
Kid, what is this you're doing?
Keeping a promise, Broadway. Always do that. It's better for everybody.
Where are you going?
I am out of lemon drops, Broadway. All out.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, The Lemon Drop Kid. Listen in again next week to... The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater with John Brown as Broadway is directed by Richard Sandville and the stories adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. This is a Mayfair production.
The Damon Runyon Theater on Tuned To Yesterday from October 24th, 1948, a syndicated recording. Wrapping up this hour of romance on Tuned To Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.